Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, it's transfer deadline day, so we were understandably... We weren't just transfer heavy, we were transfer saturated. So if you don't like transfers, you might as well turn off now. But hopefully not, because we had a bit of a chat. We strayed into some other areas. Beyond deadline day. We were joined by part of the furniture, really, on deadline day for us, Richard Cracknell, podcaster and Spurs Legends host. He sits outside the Spurs training ground for us every deadline day for no apparent reason whatsoever.
No reason at all. Kev Hatchard, though.
He was very good.
Gave us a rundown on some of the players coming in. That's interesting.
Yeah. If you've bought from Europe, then Kev's your man, so you'll hear from him. So here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And, of course, the big story this morning was Cristiano finally signing. And I was thinking about this. What number is he going to take? But he's either got to persuade Cavani to give him seven, CR7,
yes,
so he can fit with all his merchandise. It could be 23, like Jordan. It could be 24, like Kobe. But I worked it out. It's going to be 66. That's his mum's age.
Is it really?
Yeah.
The other story I heard this morning was... Dan James wears 21, doesn't he? And apparently, and Cavani wears 21 for Uruguay. So it's, if Dan James goes, it's a shirt number he wouldn't be too upset with because it's his national team one.
Oh, that'll work.
I think this is what I was hearing today. But obviously, from a marketing point of view, there'll be a little bit of pressure on Cavani to... I mean, he's within his rights to say no. I think they do have to clear this with the Premier League as well. But, you know, it's a huge marketing thing with CR7. So I'm sure they're doing the right thing. I'm sure Cavani wouldn't be that petty if he can get what he wants. It'll be fine.
He's got 336 million Instagram followers. Yeah. It's the world record, Cristiano. Like, it's so bland. I looked at it. It's just like nothing. You think, what do these people get out of following?
What would you
somebody?
Like him to do then?
Well, on there? More than he does, which is nothing.
Do like sort of, you know, he's in
bland.
The other room.
You don't...
Words in Boris Johnson's mouth. You want him to do a little bit more of that, do you?
But you don't hear really him speaking when you read it. You think, oh, I don't know. I wonder who's written this, but never know. Who knows? Even his girlfriend's got 27 million followers and her own reality show.
Oh, tremendous. Like yeah.
That's everything you've ever wanted to know about Cristiano.
You, I understand you've become a bit of a TikTok sensation. You were telling me, see, you're so down with the kids, Andy. You were showing me a video earlier on of kids doing one potato, two potato with themselves to a bit of Korean music. And apparently it's sweeping the nation, although
I know. I can't believe
our producer,
you don't know anything about it. It's things that, it's under the thing, questions I've been asked. So people sort of, you know, like, I don't know, three things that people always ask you, could be various famous people or not, and they'll do it to this kind of dance. And,
you've done your own, have you?
Not yet.
With the kids.
I'll be doing it maybe tomorrow, actually. I've been practicing.
I've always loved the idea of you becoming a TikTok sensation.
That's right.
It would be great that sort of, just in some weird parallel universe, you get 33 million followers watching you do that. Now, your club, are they going to do any business today? Looks like the Koundé thing's not going to happen.
No.
Sevilla just put a statement out, said it wasn't enough money and Jules is staying with us. But you're not fussed. You've got enough centre-halves.
We've got enough centre-halves. And what they need, I said this before the window started, they need another midfielder.
Yeah.
Letting Gilmore go, you've already seen Kante's missed two out of the three games. And it's a problem. It's a problem for Chelsea, because if you've only got three that can play in that position, when the two, when one doesn't play, the other two have to play every game, and that's not possible, and they get tired, and it affects the team. So they need a fourth midfielder. I'd like to see Saunders come in, but we'll see what they do.
Yeah, he's a good player. We were chatting earlier on, weren't we, about Loftus-Cheek, and it's got a bit quiet on his front. No one's really talking about a lone
position.
Move.
You know,
it's not his position,
you know.
But as a player, it's strange that he's not quite trained on with Chelsea, and there aren't that many takers maybe on a loan deal because of his wages.
You know, he has a strange attitude. It's a shame because he was playing so well before he got injured. Mm. But it's a bit like Conor Gallagher. I mean, he looked great for Palace, didn't he?
Yeah,
I think he's going to be a top Premier League player. But the trouble is they've all got Mason Mount in the way in that position. So are they going to surpass him? That's difficult. So
yeah,
but for Palace, he's done... I thought he played two lovely goals, actually. Well done to the Daily Star for bringing this particular story back to sport. I always like it when somebody takes something outside the world of sport and brings it in. This is the world's most expensive painting. It's Leonardo da Vinci's Salvador Mundi.
Yeah.
It sold for $327 million. $220 million more than Man City paid for Grealish. What's that got to do with
it? Is it the size of four football pitches?
It's not my favourite painting anyway. I don't like Monday.
Yeah.
There we go. Thank you very much.
Birthday spread, you've gone a bit early.
Gone early, yeah.
I'll be keeping a close eye on events at Molineux. Richard Crackers Cracknell, as always, he often gets himself outside the Tottenham training ground. He'll be looking for Ruben Neves and Adama Traore being smuggled in the back of a 4x4. Not going to happen, of course.
Good start for Spurs, though. Good start to the season.
Yeah, it was. I thought actually Watford looked all right. I think they'll be okay based on what I saw. So you never quite know. It's very early days.
It was a very interesting piece by Neil Custis, and he's a big fan of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. And his record is as good as anybody's. But for me, I just don't see it. The last two games, I've been so fortunate, United. They were lucky to win that game on. They only started playing for about
Sunday,
the last 20 minutes. And the week before against Southampton. And you just look at that squad and you look at the players they've got and you think, I mean, you should be winning the league with this team.
And they've brought in Cristiano to get on the end of stuff. It was interesting, the Telegraph looking at the ways they might play. Mm. The most obvious being him as a lone striker, I guess. But they've got him as a striker in a two with Greenwood, and they've got him in a three. I mean, as a winger...
They're not planning to press anybody.
As a winger,
seriously, because you look at his stats on pressing for Juve, they're not great.
No, but that's not... I mean, his game has become... He's a fox in the box. That's what he does, and he's very good at it.
No, he's good at it, but I'm not sure about that one.
We shall see. My club done a little bit of business. Emerson Royale. Some people will be happy with Emerson Royale. Others will want Emerson Royale with cheese. That's just the nature of it. The other big story of the day is from the world of tennis, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And the comfort breaks taken by Tsitsipas that so upset Andy Murray. The only thing is, if you were writing a poem about that game, the only thing I can think rhymes with Tsitsipas is the reason why he had to take all those comfort breaks in the first place. Well, otherwise, it could have been embarrassing.
I have to think about this one.
Yeah, okay, give that some thought. What rhymes with Tsitsipas when you... No?
No.
Okay.
I'll get it in about 5 minutes.
The producer is looking at me. Okay.
No.
It's, yeah.
I'll be laughing like that tonight. Yeah. 10 o'clock.
About 10 o'clock, you'll wake up in the middle of the night and you think, of course, that's what he meant. That I'll be handing out a leaflet at the end of the show in case you're not quite sure.
One of the first times I ever met you, you said something very funny to me. I can't mention on air, but I was still laughing about it at 10 o'clock at night.
Really?
Yes.
I should remember what it was. I've never been that funny since. So anyway, we're right around the country. We've got our reporters all around the country. Dan Windle and Alex Crook, they're here with us as well. They'll be popping in with regular updates on what... You won't miss a thing, basically, this afternoon. We'll keep you in touch.
It was on deadline day, this particular comment.
Oh, was it really?
It was about a bloke moving from Hendon, if you remember.
Oh, right. I can't remember. Yeah, you tell me in the break, because it sounds like it probably isn't for broadcast. No. Anyway, what rhymes with Tsitsipas that will make you keep going to the toilet? And it's a poem. No?
No. Tell me in the break. I'll tell you in the break. I'll tell you about the bloke from Hendon.
There's a couple of listeners out there on the way then shouting it at the radio.
Of course.
Let's hope he doesn't. Yeah. Okay. So that's all happening. We are going to be finding out a little bit more about some of those players that are coming in from around Europe. As we said, we'll find out a bit more about Odson Edouard. And for those that haven't seen him play for Celtic, Palace fans, we'll find out more about that. We've got loads. We're just going to be right around the country. All the breaking news. as it happens, all the transfers, to see all the rumours.
Leicester do, because I'm fascinated by Brendan Rodgers. After that game, I thought they were a bit lucky against Norwich, actually. I thought that goal was a... I could see why they disallowed it, but it was a shame because Schmeichel was never getting that header anyway, even if the bloke wasn't standing in front of him.
Yeah.
But he said, 3 o'clock kickoff, Carrow Road is always difficult. And I was thinking, what difference is that?
Really, it's not the Bernabeu, is it, with respect? No. I mean, you know.
What's the difference between that at 7.30, 7.45 kickoff on a Tuesday, for example? Right. Or 4 o'clock on a...
It's the white heat of Norwich. You've been to the Coleman's mustard shop at 3 o'clock. It's just something about Norwich at 3 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. That's peak Norwich.
I didn't get that.
Tsitsipas, think about it. Anyway, Dan Windle's going to kick us off. Phil Smith, the top football agent, will be with us as well. I've just seen him, Mbappe at the Bat and Ball Boozer in Westfield, says Nick the Spurs fan. Could be West Ham, though, Mbappe for West Ham. Seen Mbappe grabbing a spot of lunch at the Big Baps Burger Van up the road from the Etihad in Manchester, says Phil in Manchester. Thank you, Phil, for that.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Very good afternoon. It's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. We are right across transfer deadline day. We're back around the UK. We'll get your scouting reports if you've signed players from Europe. Kevin Hatchard will be joining us in this hour, and Alex Crook will be popping in to bring us up to date with all the deals that have happened and the ones that could happen. Say we're in the Midlands, in Manchester, on Merseyside, etc., etc. We'll look at the EFL in the company of Ian Danter later on. And you won't miss a thing. It's all happening. We're expecting quite a busy late afternoon, evening. It looks like Mbappe is not happening. If you heard Julien Leron, a French football expert, with Jim and Simon a little bit earlier on, that he's quite into playing with Messi.
You can understand that. And also, he's
happy to stay.
He holds all the cards, doesn't he? So if he goes next summer or he goes in January.
Yeah, and, you know, Real Madrid, it kind of works out for them to say, look, we did our best to try and sign you, but they wouldn't do the business. It is incredible, though, that there is very few other businesses that would say no to 130, 140 million when they know they're going to get nothing for the player in 7, 8 months. But
I think the owners can afford it.
They can. Well, exactly that. They're in a position where they don't want to lose face and they don't want to get less than they paid for him. But he will go to Real Madrid next summer, definitely. But it's probably unlikely to happen today.
I thought Varane looked good for him.
He did, yeah. But that wasn't... that shouldn't have been a surprise. It was a lot...
he's a good player.
You know, I mean, blimey, he's played for Real Madrid. There was a lot of people saying, well, it's going to take him a while to adapt. But, well, why? You know, he's played in World Cups, for goodness sake.
Yeah, he's a good player. Definitely.
Anything else you want to talk about, Andy?
Yes. Can I just hope that Anthony Taylor never referees the Chelsea game ever again?
Oh, okay, fair
the
enough.
The stats are unbelievable. 11 defeats... The most defeats are out of the top six clubs, you know, the big clubs sort of thing.
Yeah.
Being refereed by Anthony Taylor, 11 defeats for Chelsea in that section compared to sort of like 6, 7 for the others.
You do get situations, don't you? As you had with Howard Webb with Spurs for a period when you saw a team off. And you don't mean to because you go in making decisions in the right way. But sometimes you just have a run of games against the team and you manage to saw them off. And we know from Howard's
finals,
book that it got to him, you know. And I think it probably does get to Anthony Taylor. He probably thinks... Oh, God, Chelsea again. Maybe he needs to have a break for
a
while.
It was definitely a penalty.
It was,
You know, no question about that. But I thought it was not... It wasn't like Suarez against... It's a stupid rule, this rule, as well. Because
I mean, to be fair to him...
It's double jeopardy. You already get a goal. If you get a penalty, that's a goal-scoring opportunity. That's why they changed the rule for the other rule.
And there's an attempt to clear the ball without...
It wasn't a Suarez against Nigeria. It wasn't a save.
It wasn't, but it's not really the ref's fault. It's not the official's fault. It is not a great law, which doesn't particularly help.
But it was a shame because it was a really enjoyable game until it happened, and then it just became attack versus... Chelsea did brilliant in the second half, but it was just attack versus defence.
Yeah, it was. It was a great watch, though. I mean, it was intriguing for the neutral to watch that. You should have put bibs on at half time because you knew exactly what was going to happen.
Did you? It's true. Did you know that the expression Gordon Bennett is actually named after a bloke? There was actually originally a bloke called Gordon Bennett.
I never knew this.
The only reason I know this is because there was a balloon race yesterday. It's a hot air balloon race.
Yeah.
And it's called the Coupe Aeronautique Gordon Bennett, and it's named after Gordon, who was a bit of a lad.
Was he?
Apparently, yeah.
Gordon Bennett was a bit of a lad.
The contest was founded in 1906 by the Playboy newspaper tycoon who inspired the expression Gordon Bennett with his scandalous behaviour.
It's probably a phrase that doesn't get used. I doubt if anybody in our control room, kids of a certain age...
Have you ever said Gordon Bennett?
I look at our producer, what is he, 12? When's he ever used the phrase Gordon Bennett?
He looks like This Is Us. I don't get that.
Oh, OK. This was the TV show that divided opinion. I mean, you know, our boy producer, very moved by the show. Ben Fletcher on the news says it's the best thing he watches. You're not having it, Andy.
I watched the first three series. Sue loves it.
What channel is it? What is it on?
Amazon.
Amazon, okay. Yeah.
But it's just... the style of it is what's going on currently with flashbacks.
Okay.
So, but they keep flashing back to the same bits only like 10 minutes later. You think, oh, how many flashbacks can you have? I don't know how they've worked six series out of it. I got so bored with it anyway.
Well, yeah,
the producer, the senior producer, is not in today due to a 4-0 thrashing.
Well, he claims to be ill, but his team talk at United were humbled by Ben Fletcher's woking.
He could
four goals to nil and his feigned illness.
Yeah.
His feigned illness, so he doesn't have to face him because, that's a fairly intense rivalry.
And some top work on the by Star Texters. Here's this one. Some Arsenal players have been invited to appear on the BBC quiz show. Pointless, it says in capitals. Yeah, you should be on Witless, mate.
There should be a game show called Witless. That would be fantastic, man. We could get a hosting gig on that. Some good news apparently coming in from Zoran. Yes, something to smile about, Arsenal fans. Legend spotted, Nicholas Bentner, Greg's in Islington. A few people, another one here from Woody says, I've just seen Thomas Brolin grabbing a McDonald's in Leeds City Centre. Hashtag he's coming home. So these are some of the crackpot sightings. Jules Koundé arguing with a ticket officer at Fulham Broadway Station because he lost his Oyster card. And Mason Greenwood at Chick King in Tottenham High Road, says Kevin. So these are some of the rumours, some of the things that are going on this afternoon. We've seen players, those clubs that aren't doing a lot of business today, with your cynical head on, and that's certainly what the Liverpool fans had earlier on when they called Jim and Simon saying, oh yeah, announce Henderson's contract extension today, make it feel like a new signing. City had done a similar thing with Ruben Dias, deciding today is the day to have them holding up the shirt and signing a new contract.
Well, you can understand that. But City fans can't complain. They have spent 100 million on Grealish.
They have, yeah.
They look pretty good.
They do. They certainly do. We're going to be back around the country very shortly. Alex Crook will be popping in to see us. Have you kind of given up on today? Do you think you're not going to get any more business done?
We'll see, won't we?
Are you pleased with your business?
Yeah, obviously. It's what Chelsea needed. They already had a good team. They just needed somebody who can score goals. I thought he did well on Saturday as well. And difficult.
Defensively, he did well, didn't he?
Yeah, but also
he's putting a shift in.
He set up a chance for Kovacic. Yeah. He was put himself about. He's good.
Yeah,
no question. But yeah, it's they need a midfielder. But let's see if they get one. I'm not sure they will at this stage. Good luck to Dave Weir as well, friend of the show tonight. 3:46 a.m. He's going. I thought it was an interesting piece in the Sun today about his wheelchair not having the same technology as others. You know, whereas before we were kind of ahead of people.
So. No, his German rival has got a real kind of high-tech wheelchair, hasn't he? Yeah,
it'd be great if he could get any sort of medal. It'd be fantastic. He's going to come and see us, apparently, when he gets back, which would be good.
He's a big Arsenal man, isn't he, Dave? I think, isn't he? He's a big Arsenal fan. He won't be particularly
cheer
happy
him
at
up,
the moment.
Really?
we will catch up with David Weir when he returns from the Paralympics, which has been brilliant again. I mean, it is just a sensational thing to watch, isn't it? So many great stories, and it's been brilliant to watch over the last week or so.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Some of the windows in Europe closing that a little bit earlier. Here to look at some of the players that have come in from around Europe that you may not know much about. It's Kevin Hatchard, European football expert. Hi, Kev.
How are we, gentlemen? Well?
We're not too bad, thank you, yes.
There's quite a few players, aren't there? Interesting names that you could flesh out for us.
Yeah, Tomiyasu especially. The Arsenal, you see, he was linked to Tottenham and Leicester and others, but it looks like Arsenal are going to get the deal done. What can the Arsenal fans expect?
Yeah, he's a good player. He's good on the ball. He can play right back, but I think he could maybe also play on the right of a back three if that's the way that Arsenal wanted to go. He's quite skillful on the ball. He's quite happy to take people on. He can score as well. And I think he's somebody that would be pretty consistent and reliable. You know, he played plenty of games for Bologna in Serie A. He's still in his early 20s, so he's got room to grow. And I think he's a dynamic player that would genuinely make a difference to them. So I think that's quite an exciting signing for them, given the fact that it's not going very well, is it, to be honest?
No, it's an understatement. But it's early days.
Very early days.
Yes,
what
of
about
course.
Emerson Royal? I don't really know him, or Royal, as I imagine he is.
Is he a Royal or is he a Royal?
Royal, I
think. Oh, OK. Marvellous.
He is a player that I think Barcelona would have wanted to keep, ideally. But because they are in the most extraordinary financial trouble, this is a deal that they had to get done. He's been on loan at Betis for the past couple of seasons, so he's somebody that has had first team experience at a high level. And again, I think there's somebody who's ready for the first team. You know, I don't think this is a wait and see. I don't think this is a let's see how he gets on. I think he's probably better than what they've got in that position. And I like Tanganga a lot. But I think he's somebody who's ready for the first team straight away. And so, again, dynamic, likes to get forward, I think can make a real difference to Spurs.
West Ham fans, should they be pleased that Vlasic has signed?
I like him. I think he's somebody that probably got to the Premier League too early and to a team in flux when he was at Everton and didn't really get the opportunities that he would have wished. He's gone away and done well in Russia. And he was a player that Croatia, you know, they pick him for their national team. Gets forward well, gets into some really clever positions, good technique as well. And I think, again, he's somebody that second time around in the Premier League can actually make a bit of a difference. So I think West Ham made quite a clever signing there.
And Cucurella, is that how you pronounce it?
He was at Getafe, wasn't he? He was at Barcelona player, wasn't he, at one point?
Yeah, he was. He came through La Masia. He's another one I really like. I saw him play for Barca in the Youth League a few years ago and really caught the eye, not just because of the sideshow bob hair, but because he's actually a really good player. And he can play either on the left of midfield or as a wing back. But I think he'll probably play left back for Brighton a fair bit as well. And again, great on the ball, as you'd expect somebody who came through La Masia to be. And I think given the way they play, given the possession that they like to have in games, Brighton, I think that'll suit him down to the ground. And that's what he's been looking for, because at Getafe, they've been very much a team of bruisers, really. I mean, they're a team that has done exceptionally well, Getafe, and they fight and they scrap. But I think he wants to play for a team that likes to have the ball a bit more, and Brighton is certainly that.
It doesn't look like the Mbappe thing's going to happen, does it? He's going to be staying at PSG for now.
No, and I think that suits everybody. And the reason I think that is that if you look at Real Madrid's position, they can now be seen to have tried. So it looks as though they're active and they're trying to do a big deal. And it hasn't quite worked out for them. But they know that Mbappe still wants to join them. So in terms of the power play between PSG and Real Madrid. I still think in the fullness of time, Real still win that battle because they take away a top player that PSG wanted to keep and they take him for free. From Paris's point of view, there's an element of face saving here because if he goes, you know, they'll at least get him for another year. They'll be able to line up with Neymar and Mbappe and Messi for a year. So from a kind of PR point of view, as well as a football point of view, that's good for them. And for Mbappe, he'll probably get a better financial deal and a bit more agency over how it all works out. So he gets the dream move that he wants in a year's time and he gets to play with Messi for a year. So I think in the end, the way this is shaken down, it kind of works for everybody.
Sure. Adamola Lookman looks like he's definitely going to be under Leicester today. Why has it not happened for him at Leipzig? He was on loan at Fulham, of course, last season. But why didn't it happen for him in Germany as it has a lot of other players?
Do you know what, gents? It's a real mystery to me, I have to say. Because when he first came to Germany, he was great. He was really, really impressive. Scoring goals, making goals, really quick. Perfect for that Leipzig system. And then they made a really big push to sign him permanently. You might remember they couldn't get him originally. Everton didn't want him to go originally. It took a while to bring him back, but they really persevered. And then they brought him back and he barely played. And I remember when Julian Nagelsmann was there, every time that Ademola Lookman had a chance to impress, he just looked so desperate to impress that he ended up doing the opposite and he was snatching at chances and he just didn't look relaxed and composed at all. So I think it's a real shame because I think he's built for the Bundesliga. I think the spaces you get on the counter-attack, the opportunities you get, I think he'd be great, but it looks as though that chapter is closed.
Yeah.
And in the notes we hear, we've got something on Haaland latest. I mean, he's definitely staying, isn't he? There's no question about that.
Yeah, I think the one thing we've learnt in the past couple of years about Borussia Dortmund is they mean what they say in the transfer market. And they've been briefing all summer long that he was not for sale this window, no matter what the offer was, that they knew he was probably going to go in a year when the release clause is 75 million euros. And I always felt that it didn't really make a lot of sense for Haaland to go now, because why would he narrow down a massive list of elite clubs that want to sign him and just go to PSG? It doesn't really make any sense to me. So I think he's going to have a very exciting year for Dortmund. I think he'll give his all. I think he'll play really, really well. And then I think there'll be an almighty bun fight for him next summer.
And finally, he'll end up at Bayern.
Yeah, well, talking of ending up at Bayern, in the great tradition of them hoovering up all the best Bundesliga talent, Marcel Sabitzer has gone there from Leipzig, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. Just on the Bayern thing, by the way, with Haaland, I don't think they're in it. I really don't. They'll say they are, and they'll have to kind of, you know, give that impression. I just think financially, in terms of the wages and the add-ons and the whole thing, I'm just not sure it's a deal that they'll do. They might want
flutter,
to,
Kev,
but I just think...
Well, if you were having a flutter, where do you think he will end up?
Do you know what? I have bounced around. I've got to be honest with you. I do think the Ronaldo thing is fascinating to me because I really do think United are a runner in this race. I do, because you've got Jadon Sancho, who he's got a great relationship with. I think he would enjoy playing alongside. You've got the Solskjaer factor coming back to Manchester. Alfinger played for City. Yeah. So I think they're a live contender. What Real would love to do, absolutely love to do, is sign Mbappe and Haaland in the same window. So they're the two for me that maybe are ahead of the rest. Yeah. Just on Sabitzer, by the way, this situation kind of really works for him and Bayern, and probably for Leipzig as well, because Julian Nagelsmann, who's the coach at Bayern, knows him really well. He made him the captain of Leipzig last season. So there's a good relationship there. Sabitzer fills a few gaps in their squad because otherwise they're going to run Kimmich and Goretzka into the ground. And it works for Leipzig because he wasn't going to sign a new deal. They didn't really give him the pay rise that he wanted. And so they get a fee and they're carrying on with a much younger set of players anyway.
Thanks, Kev.
Thanks, Kev. Interesting stuff.
Cheers, guys.
Kevin Hatchard there, looking at some of the players that have come from Europe. And, Cucurella's gone to Brighton, by the way. A former Barcelona player, so a good bit of business for Graham Potter.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, it's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on Talk Sport, and it is, of course, transfer deadline day, as you may have gathered by now, and we're keeping you in touch with everything that's going on, all the breaking news, the deals getting done, the ones that are falling by the wayside, and we'll be doing that right through till 11 o'clock when it slams shut in the UK. We're going to be finding out, Palace fans, a bit more about Odson Edouard and looking at some of the deals that are being done in Scotland. David Tanner will be joining us later on, and we'll be back around the UK. Alex Crook will be here as well with all the very latest news. But very much a staple of Transfer Deadline Day on this show for many years has been, I mean, we try and have people all over the country, as you've been hearing, but we've only ever had, well, one man and his good friend Anthony Costa of Blue Fame.
A specialist.
He is a specialist. He is the man we turn to. He goes to the Spurs training ground, very kind of, when he's in the country, of course, and these days he lives in the Canary Islands, but when able to, and he's in the country at the moment, so he has decided this afternoon to spend some time outside the Spurs training ground watching the comings and goings, awaiting Emerson Royale
on an open top carriage,
really. Yes, or in a sedan chair being carried in, as you'd expect of somebody who was Royale, and looking for that car from Molyneux with two fine players in the back. It is Richard Cracknell, podcaster and Spurs Legends host. Good afternoon, Crackers.
Hola, Paul. Hola, Andy. How are you doing?
We're good, Crackers. So, what's going on at the Spurs training ground? Are there a number of journalists there?
Well, I'm currently parked in the Peter Oden Wingy Memorial car park.
Nice.
Got my eyes on the gate. No journalists, just a gaggle of young lads and lassies looking to get a shirt signed with their parents. And the only comings and goings at present has been a couple of big old JCBs coming in and out of other dump trucks available, by the way, in and out of the training centre. So, I don't know, perhaps one of them's off to go and pick Adama Traore up.
Yeah. So, it's very good of you to go there, Crackers, because in all the years you've been doing it, nothing's ever happened. It's marvellous.
What's been the highlights of this gig that you've had over the years? I suppose you're having a chat with Gary Cottrell from Sky, but even he's not there today. He's in Strasbourg for some reason.
Yeah. Gary, when we used to go to Chigwell, now at Enfield and everything's more hidden away, it's even harder to see what's going on. But I think a couple of years ago in the Burst Water Main gave us quite a lot of deadline day action here. Mm. And but other than that, it's been thin gruel, I'm afraid.
Yes.
So I'm still looking out for Emerson Royal. And as you say, I'm hoping he turns up. And if we can sign Emerson, I'm just hoping and praying that we sign ex-Man City star Paul Lake.
Yes.
And Colton Palmer.
Colton Palmer. Of course. Yeah, that would be perfect.
They're all there.
Emerson, Lake and Palmer. Yeah. Three, which will be...
one for the prog fans.
exactly. I thought Andy would laugh at that more, like a fanfare for the common man.
Now,
after that birthday spread.
Well, it's not a difficult one.
Emerson Royale. I mean, what's he going to be called? Well, they're saying... Jim, you're suggesting. You think
that was very funny.
The players might call in Jim Royale, as in the royal family, the Royale family.
He's nailed on that Dele and Eric Dyer are going to start calling him Jim in the dressing room, aren't they? And then somebody, poor soul from Spurs, has got to try and explain to this young Brazilian lad all about Jim Royale. I mean, how that's going to pan out. He's good luck with that. But, he's definitely known as Jim in the dressing room.
Some of the older members of they'll be calling him Joe, won't they?
Joe,
of the older fans, or possibly wrestling fans, might call him Bert.
Bert Royal.
Imagine if Bert became his nickname. Then you get Emerson Royal, says, I love the nickname Bert. I used to love the Royals. Vic Faulkner was one of the great purists he was of
they
old British wrestling.
They were the Royal Brothers, one was called Bert Royal and the other was called Vic Faulkner. I don't think
they were related. Anyway, I don't know. It's maybe by marriage.
Big fan of Kent Walden and the world of sport, Emerson Royal, apparently.
Of course he is,
yeah. Great, in his unveiling video, he ends it, Emerson Royal, saying, have a good week till next week.
grappling fans.
It's unlikely. Now, if he does pull up, you can have a chat with him, as says someone who's speaking a bit of Spanish since you've moved there, Crackers.
That's very true.
Maybe you can indulge him in a bit of a chat.
I think he may be a Portuguese speaker. So,
oh yes, that's true. Yeah, well, he's been playing in Spain for a long time, and it's he's picked it up. Yeah.
I'm sure I'll get by. Listen, if I can go and order myself a couple of beers and a sandwich where I live, I'm sure I can get by chatting to Emerson Lowell. We'll have a chat about Crybaby Breaks.
He could Crybaby Jim Breaks. He could maybe take you on as his interpreter. That would be brilliant, wouldn't it? Emerson's interviewed Crackers gets the gig. Now, I went with my wife to the game at the weekend, and I did see Crackers in the stadium for the Watford game. And my wife, my eldest son, has decided he's quite taken with the new Tottenham multicoloured away
that,
shirt, you know. And my missus says it looks like a seven-year-old's pyjama top from Mothercare back in the day.
I think that's fairly
accurate. She said, I've not seen any adults in them at all. It's just kids. But, of course, who should Hove interview? Crackers wearing one of those Osibisa Road Crew-style T-shirts. It was quite spectacular.
Oh, yeah.
But you carried it off. You made it look good. I think she's now sold on the idea that an adult can pull it off.
Well, if I can pull that off in my medium-sized away shirt, because I do like it baggy, then anybody can. Yeah. So get Andy in mind. There's a man for some sartorial elegance.
Chelsea have got one of their own, an absolutely terrible shirt.
You've stopped wearing the shirt, and you've reached the stage you felt, what was it, 60? Was that the
65.
Cut-off?
65.
That was the 65 was the cut-off for wearing the club shirt,
I have considered a Lukaku shirt, I'm thinking of it.
Oh, really? He's brought you back. Because he's brought you back to it. That's fantastic.
Better call Sal.
Yeah, that's right. You don't want to buy him when players are on loan. That's always high
that's
risk.
That's always a bad move.
So, Crackers, finally, nothing going on at the Spurs training. You've seen a couple of dump trucks, no Emerson Royal, no car coming, no cab from Wolverhampton, nothing.
No. I've got my spotters stationed on bridges over the A4123 that runs from Wolverhampton to Dudley. They've reported back nothing. So let's see. I mean, we're just under 8 hours away from the window slamming shut. Why it doesn't glide closed or just shut, I don't know. But it slams shut. And, of course, Daniel Levy, that means he's got about 7.5 hours before, the wallet opens and the phone switches on. So we're a long way off yet from Tottenham beginning to do their business at about 10:35 this evening. So watch this space.
Fantastic. Cheers, Crackers. Thanks very much. Crackers. All the best.
Cheers, guys.
There we are. It's Richard Cracknell outside the Spurs training ground. There's nothing happening. Crackers are again a podcaster and host of those Spurs Legends night. It's quite interesting that we've always known that our good friends at Sky Sports News have a time remaining ticker on deadline day. But I don't know if this is a new development. They're doing it in tenths of a second.
I don't know what they're
expecting. It's like someone's going to dip at the line and 100 metres. It's just the idea that a deal could get done within a tenth of a second, just before 11 o'clock.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. I mean, normal service effectively probably resumes tomorrow, but we will be looking back on the business that was done and the winners and losers. And you're back on Thursday for the birthday spread, and then in the studio on Friday. Charlie Baker will be with me from 1 tomorrow. If you can join us, great. If not, podcast available around 4:30.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.